I do have a little cold this morning, so if I grab a drink, that's why. I actually gotten better. I think when I first started out preaching, I was drinking all the time because I was so nervous. You know, this is the journey that we've been taking together. It's been my journey, as I've talked about, walking down this road. So we're a lesson number 7. And I just want to go back over what we've covered so far, because to me, every time we bring up a lesson, it seems like something occurs during that time frame to reinforce it. We first talked about being fully surrendered. We talked about being filled with the Spirit, establishing faith and trust in God, a walk in all of God's ways, not our ways, but God's ways. Develop a personal relationship with our Lord. Develop a good, strong prayer life. We saw that in action last week. And that's the week we had that sermon in our life. And now, I want us to go into entering into a true sacrifice process with the Lord. I don't think it's a better time than right now to talk about sacrificing our life for the Lord. You know, the Lord is in control. Look at how our worship has gone this morning. Everything just seems to line up the way it's supposed to be. I think so much the Lord leads this congregation in the way that it needs to go. Because it's not our way, it's His way. It's not our path, but His path. It's not our sacrifice, but His sacrifice. So, this morning I want to talk about living sacrifice. You know, I was thinking about putting this lesson together and trying to go, how am I going to go with this lesson? How am I going to explain this so we can all understand it? And of course, we talked about in the last couple of weeks, a good Lord put me onto retirement. You know, all y'all know, some of y'all may not know who are visiting, that I was a firefighter. Over 30 years of service as a firefighter. And that's a life of sacrifice. But let me tell you, it is a life of sacrifice. But I look back at my last 30 years, over 30 years, and I sacrificed so much for the service, the fire service. Police officers understand it. Military understand that lifestyle. But I look over my life and realize how many times I've been blessed and been taken care of and been given so many great blessings because I was willing to give that life a sacrifice. You know, the brotherhood, when it comes to police officers or firefighters or military, there's a bond that comes together because we are on the same mission. We have the same values, the same goal in life. We work together to complete the mission. And that's what sacrifice is about. It's coming together and working together for the same cause. Christianity is no different. We come together for one purpose, one goal, to do our Father's will. We do His work, not our work. And when I lay this out, I think you'll have a better understanding. Because I did. Because we all talk about the sacrifice, and we look at the cross, and the cross is only designed for one thing. And that's the die on. But let's talk about what dies on that cross this morning. Let's go read what was read earlier in this class today, which is just God at work again. In Romans chapter 1, if you want to turn over there, we can kind of be flipping back and forth as we go over this lesson to bring my point across this morning, or to bring the Lord's point across this morning, because I'll tell you, I was just over there praying, asking the Lord to lead this lesson the way He wants it to go. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy." Just hold up right there. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters." You need to listen to what I'm about to say. You need to listen hard to what is getting ready to be said. And the very thing he says, in the view of God's mercy. Where is a better place to be than God's mercy? He puts that on the forefront of his comment. Not on the back end, not in the middle, but on the forefront, because of God's mercy. He tells us this, to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to who? God. This is your true and purpose worship. This is what you do to worship God, is to lay your life as a living sacrifice. But you go into verse 2, let's being transformed. You know, as a firefighter, and when I started out in the beginning of my career and where I came to, I wasn't the same person. And you go into the military and you go through boot camp. After you get out of boot camp, you're not the same person. When you become a police officer and you get out of the academy, you are no longer the same person. Through your career, you change. You transform. The same thing for us. Look at verse 2 in chapter 12. Listen to this part. Be not conformed to this world. Uh-oh. We can't look like this world. We can't act like this world. We can't be like this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Once again, it's not our will. It is God's will. And we're going to be transformed. And I'm telling you, these lessons, y'all, I told you, it's my journey. Something that I want to work on in my Christian life to get my life the way it's going. And I've noticed a change in how I am and how I think. I'm being transformed. I got a lot of work to go. I got a lot of ways, long ways to go. And I think a short time to get there. Because the time is short on this earth. But if we are willing to do God's will, we will not look the same. We will not act the same. We will not speak the same. Everybody around us will be able to see a difference in us. And if they can't, we're not being transformed. We're still a part of this world. And we need to realize that and understand that, that it's a transformation. See, this bug here is going to turn into a beautiful butterfly. It doesn't look nothing the same. And that's what we need to realize and understand. That we're not going to look the same as we started if we're willing to follow God's will. Here's a quote from Eric Thompson. I looked him up. He's a public speaker. He does motivational speaking, but I like his quote. Think about what he's saying here for a moment. Be able at any moment to sacrifice what you are for what you will become. You're willing to give up anything to be transformed to what you're going to become. Anything in your life. At that very moment, somebody comes to you and asks you to do something, you know that ain't right. You need to make the right decisions. Somebody's coming up to you and wants you to do something, you know that no, that's the old me. The new me doesn't do that. Of course you're going to get criticized and persecuted for doing the right thing. But be willing to make that sacrifice to do the right thing, to be transformed into something better. Look at that bug, because that's what I'm a bug. I'm trying to get to that butterfly, but right now I'm that bug. But be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to become that beautiful butterfly, something more beautiful, more perfect than yourself. Perfect example is the rich young ruler. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Patterson talked about it, I do believe, about the rich young ruler. You know this story. He came up to Jesus and said, what do I need to inherit eternal life? He says, follow the commandments. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. And he says, I've done that all my youth. Here's that moment. What do I lacketh? Here's that moment when Jesus told him, sell all that you have and come follow me. And no, Lord, and you've asked one too many things of me. And that's what the problem we have. We don't want to sacrifice. There's one thing in our life that we say, Lord, no, no, no. Not that one thing. We want to hold on to it. We're not really, truly willing to sacrifice that. Just like the rich young ruler who was one thing, sell all that you have and come follow me. And I guarantee you, just like my career in my fire service, later on he looked back and realized what a great blessing that was. That wasn't a true sacrifice if he really had the faith in the Lord, if he was willing to give it up for the Lord. It was a sacrifice for that moment, but it wasn't a sacrifice, true sacrifice, because he inherits eternal life. You know, the other story I thought about, it just came to me as all the discussions we were having this morning. You know the widow who gave two mites? The widow who gave two mites. And the disciples were sitting there with Jesus, watching it. And Jesus told them, you know, all these other people are just giving of their abundance. And so often that's what we do as Christians. We give what we want to give of our abundance. But a widow came down to that widow. She gave her last two mites. Gave all that she had. And I was just Brian thinking, you know, because I know how the Lord works. And I was thinking, we don't have the rest of the story to go with it. But I was thinking, what happened after that? I say, you know the way the Lord works? She had the best meal of her life that night. That's what's going through my head. The Lord's going to provide for more and better. She was going thinking, I don't have anything left, but I'm going to give it to you, Lord. But I guarantee you, in my heart and soul, she was taken care of by abundantly that evening. She had the faith to do it. And that's what we need to have when we give our sacrifice. Because what are we really sacrificing? We're sacrificing our sins. We're putting that on the cross. We're putting that to die on the cross. So we can transform into something better. For the wager of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We really ain't giving up nothing. If we really think about it. But you know, Satan comes in involved and tells us all, does God really say that? Does God really mean that you can't have this? Does God really control you? He comes in. And now that's why we see so many different ways of believing and so many different ways of it. Because the Satan steps in and says, does he really mean that? Does he really want you to not be able to have a Sunday to go fishing? Or Sunday to watch football games? Or really, you see that person walking down the road and says, no, the Lord really wanted me to help that individual out. Satan is the battle. Spiritual warfare, brothers and sisters. That's where our struggles are at. We got God trying to do the right thing and not making us do the right thing. And got Satan trying to influence us. There's where we have the difference. In Romans chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us this. Therefore, do not let sin reside in your mortal body so that you obey his evil desires. Don't let sin rule your life. 13 tells us this. Do not offer the part of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God. Sacrifice yourself to God. As these who have been brought from death to life, and offer parts of their body to him as an instrument of righteousness. He brought us from death to life. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what sacrificing for him does for us. It doesn't bring us death on the cross. Because you remember, Jesus rose on the third day. He overcome death. That was the last thing Satan had over the world, was death. But he overcame death by sacrificing himself on the cross. Look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. for you are not under the law. There's that word again, but under grace. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, we would have no chance. There would be no chance for eternal life. If he didn't be willing to leave everything and come down here and die on that cross and overcome death, we would have no chance in life. So the question, this has been brought up already this morning, is how do we do that? All right. Remember, we were in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. Let's read on to verse 3. Listen to this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Uh-oh. I got to get myself out of the way here. It's not about me. No more. I'm sacrificing myself. I'm giving myself to the Lord. So I can't be about me. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment. And according with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Have faith in Him. Don't worry about your life. Don't think you got to control things. Turn it all over to God. Well, let's read on. Let's go to 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so is Christ. We through may form one body, and each member belongs to all of the other. Uh-oh. We don't belong to ourselves no more. We belong to each other. We're a part of one body. You know, you've had the perfect example about this right now. Is we know that Christ is at the head of the body. He's our church. He's the one that rules over us and makes our decisions. And this is what it looks like. Christ is the head and we're the body. You've had the perfect example. My head has been telling my body how to preach. I can't walk this way and that way at the same time. It's impossible. My body controls my actions. What I speak, what I say, how I act. How my fingers act, how my ears act, how my toes act. That's how it works, brothers and sisters. Christ is the head. He tells the body how to work. The only way this body can do something different is removal. If I throw my finger over there, then it's no longer part of my body. Then it can go, somebody can pick it up. So you're not a part of the body if you're not attached to it. So we as a church don't have say on what to do. God leads us. He's the head. He's the body. Just like your body. God is smart. He knows the examples that we need that we can remember and think about. Because if we don't take care of the body, to take care of the head, the body doesn't live. If we're not taking care of the head, the body doesn't live. This part is gone. Let me tell you a little secret. I'm retired now. I can tell you this little secret in the EMS. Some of the EMS people may already know. You know what I do when I come up to somebody who's unconscious? And I got 19-year-old soldiers who love to get out of PT, so they like to play unconscious. They lay on the floor and stuff like that. There's a technique that we use. We take their hand like this above them. It doesn't hurt them. And we drop it. If it hits them there, even hits them there, it's not hurting them. But if they're awake and they're in control, it does this. That's how the hand will react. It's automatic. It's going to protect the body. And that's how we tell if the soldier is wake up, pick up his arm, drops it, it lands on the ground. We know, okay, we can take our time. He's got something going on. We just take a little bit different. If it hits him, oh, they're out of it. We need to do something a little bit quicker. But the body is always going to protect the head. It won't let anything happen. You fall, what do you naturally do? You reach out to protect the body. That's our responsibility. We no longer own ourselves. You know, you wonder why the Old Testament and the New Testament are important. Because God's plan started in Eve, the Garden of Eden. The day that Adam and Eve bit of the fruit, His plan is put in motion to reconcile our relationship. So we use the Old Testament for the purpose of knowing God's plan, His full plan. And early on, this is what God's plan. It has not changed. If you read in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and through 3, then he tells us this, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. No other God do we worship. No other things in life do we worship. We don't worship a car. We don't worship our house. We don't worship anything but our Lord. That's what's required of us as Christians. We take His Scripture and worship and follow it. This is our God. Nothing else becomes before this. What God says goes. And that's what we got to accept. But Satan will always tell you, did He really say that? Did He really mean that? That's how He got Adam and Eve. Will you truly die if you bit of the forbidden fruit? That's how He got them. The world ain't changed. We ain't changed. We kind of listen to Satan. Did He really say that? Do you really have to give up that? Like He did with the rich young ruler? In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Christ did what His Father told Him. He came down here, died on the cross, willing to do His Father's will. But listen to this. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in where? In me. It's not me anymore. It's Christ who guides me and shows me the way. I'm doing everything I can to please Him. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave Himself for me. That lays it all out. We don't get to choose from this point on, but we're going to benefit. That's the one thing you got to realize. Even on earth, if you do His will, there's great benefits. And there's more to come. You ain't seen nothing yet. Like I said before, our retirement's out of this world. What He has prepared for us and what He wants for each and every one of us is incredible, even while we're here on earth. But Satan says, really, do you really want to give that up? Do you really want to sacrifice that little thing in your life like the rich young ruler? Satan is involved. What do we need to do? Colossians 1 verse 10. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good works, and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, of God. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. That's what we need to do. That's the part of the sacrifice that we need to give. Not our walk, but His walk. Not our ways, but His ways. That's what sacrifices truly mean. That you're willing to give up anything and everything for the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You'll see this in sermons to come. Study God's Word carefully. Study God's Word carefully. I think that's where we struggle in life. Even as Christians, even as different churches out there, we kind of interpret God's Word a little bit the way it meets what we want. Satan says, hey, wouldn't it sound better if it says it this way? Wouldn't it meet your needs if it says it this way? No. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study God's Word carefully to become a workman who not need to be ashamed, who can correctly handle the Word of Truth. Correctly handle the Word of Truth. That ain't an easy task. But we got to be willing to hear what he has to say. We got to be willing to do his will and not our will. First Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me just as also I imitate Christ. That's who we're supposed to imitate. I like this picture here of a father and a son. A son wants to do his father proud, so he imitates him things. You know, growing up, some of the times we may have learned our children imitate us, our bad habits as well as our good habits. So when you get angry and say things, and then your son or daughter comes up behind you and say the same thing, and they say, I'm just repeating what you said. We got to remember who we're trying to imitate. Our responsibility to imitate Christ. Look at Christ's life. His whole life was serving others, even to unto death. And that's who we are as Christians. That's where our sacrifice is. It's to serve the Lord and serving others, even unto death. There's where our sacrifice lies. What are we really giving up? Not a whole lot. You know, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life. I'm still going through this walk. I got 3 more lessons to walk down to figure out where I'm going. But I encourage you this morning, if you got anything going on, just let us know as a congregation. We're one body. We're here for each other. We're here to serve one another, to be with one another, and help to one another. So you ain't doing this by yourself. Christ leads our directions, but we're here to help one another. If I hit my finger really hard, what's the other hand do? Ow! That's what we'll do as a congregation. We'll wrap ourselves around you. That example was last week. Somebody hurts and in need, we come together as a congregation. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But I know who has control of everything. The head, Christ Jesus. So if there's anything we can do, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.